We thank God for another good morning that, you know, God has given us. And we've been looking at the hidden wisdoms of God. And, you know, from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see that God has hidden certain things in wisdom. And one of the key things that he hid is Christ. And the Bible says that if the rulers of this world had known, they will not have crucified the King of Glory. And for sure, it shows us that God loves to hide things. The Bible says it's the glory of God to hide a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. So God desires that we search out mysteries. God desires that we search out things that he has hidden for our glory, things that were hidden from the wise and those who are, you know, rich and wealthy, but then he has revealed them to little children. And we are like those little children because we come to him in childlike faith and believing that that which he has promised to do, he will do it. And our God is continually faithful. You know, so when we think of what God has purposed to do in our lives, let us just give glory to God and rejoice in him. And today I wanted to look at how Christ came and he's hidden in Adam. Or basically how God hides a new, you know, a second Adam and the last Adam. And it's a mystery because it was the plan of God. You can think of when God did the first creation of man, he brought in Adam, and the Bible tells us that when he made the man from the ground, he breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of God, and the Bible says that the man became a living soul. And so this man that was made the living soul, God named them Adam, both male and female, Adam, and when he breathed into them, the man was made a living soul. He placed him in the garden, and when he was in the garden, God provided everything for them, and he gave them dominion over the entire earth. He told them to over the birds of the air, of the fish, over every living thing, and man was given dominion. And so Adam was given dominion over the earth. But you see, that dominion, that authority has to be tested. And one of the things that God does is anyone that he uses, he takes them through tests. And you can ask yourself, but why did God make it in a way that there was a rule for them not to, you know, to partake of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil or the knowledge of the, you know, the tree of life? I mean, they could eat the tree of life. It was not hidden from them. Can you imagine that? The tree of life was always there for them to touch and eat. So I will think that as long as they were in the garden, they will partake of the tree of life and they could have had the chance to live forever. But you see, God always places some, you know, it's like a test to see how his creation has been. It's like a creator when you've created your car or your machine and you want to test it. Does it work? What is the test run? So what God does, even when he brought the animals to Adam, he saw, the Bible said he brought the animals to Adam and saw what he would name them. And each animal that he named, that was its name. So in God's mind, he was like, it is good. Everything that he has made is good. And his man has taken the dominion over what God has given him. So the earth, as you say, the Bible says, the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So the earth was not given to the devil. The earth was not given to demons as their authority, but the earth was given to man, and it was given to the first man, who was Adam. And the Bible tells us that when he was in the garden, the serpent, who was cunning, came and he spoke to the woman and asked, did God really say, do not eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And the woman said, yes, God said we should not eat of it, and we shall not even touch it. Now, you see, that was extra because God had not told Adam not to touch it, but God had told him not to eat it. And so in the course of time, Eve must have touched the tree and nothing happened. So when the devil brought in the temptation, did God really say, and he brought in the doubt that, no, you will not die, but you will be like God, your eyes will be open. And the Bible says that when Eve saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye, and it was good for food and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and ate of it. And the Bible says she then gave it to Adam, who was there with her. That tells you that it is not that Eve was deceived in the absence of Adam. They were both there and they ate it together. They ate it. So Eve took it. And the Bible tells us that it was the woman, Eve, that was deceived. But Adam was not deceived. The Bible tells us that Adam rebelled because Adam knew what God had said. He had the power and he knew that he should not partake of that. But you see, in his rebellion, he fell. He fell because he knew clearly what God had said. And it's not that he expected, because the Bible says it was not man that was deceived, but it was the woman that was deceived. So that tells us something. But you see, when he did that, the Bible tells us that whoever you choose to obey, you become a slave of. And that's a law in the spirit. So the moment Adam also partook of that apple, their eyes were open and they realized they were naked and they sewed fig trees and covered themselves. Now, when you look at that, you see that Adam lost his glory at that moment, because I believe they were covered in the glory of God. They were dressed in glory and they did not have any needs at that point. But you see, when that happened, they were exposed to a forbidden wisdom that was not supposed to know, which is the knowledge of evil. God wanted them to just know good, but they were exposed to the knowledge of wisdom. And I believe if Adam had not partaken, even if Eve had partaken, God would still have not punished them, in that he had the last say over, you know, the answer. But then since he submitted his dominion, his authority to the devil, now the devil has a legal authority over the earth. And the Bible calls him the God of this world, because even when it comes to tempt Jesus, he says that I can give them all these kingdoms that are on earth. I can give them to any man in a moment of time. That means kingdoms that existed from the beginning of time to the time when this earth shall end. In a moment of time, the devil was able to show Jesus all these kingdoms and tell him that these were handed to me and I can give them to anyone that I will. So the first Adam brought sin. The Bible says he was made from the earth. Then he brought sin. He sinned. And when he fell, he brought sin to every man. And just because all of us come from Adam, the Bible says from one man, he made all men from all nations, from one blood, that they should inhabit the earth. And the Bible tells us that we bear the image of the earthly man. We bear the image of the earthly man. Who is the earthly man? Adam. And since because we all bear the image of Adam, what happens is that when Adam sinned, and we all get the death that comes from Adam. But then now I want us to see how God hides a second Adam coming into the earth through Christ, through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that, and we are going to make a comparison between the first Adam and the second Adam, who is also called the last Adam. Now we are going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Bible says, we're going to read from verse 20. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are at Christ's coming." Now, let me just pause there and we see what we are seeing. We are seeing that, first of all, that there is a first fruits. Christ is made the first of a kind. That is, we are made after Christ. We that have believed, we are of Christ, and we have made us after Christ, after the image of Christ. So the first Adam, everyone is made after him because we come from him. But you see, when Christ, God was hiding a second Adam, or the last Adam, this second Adam was coming. He came in the same way, in that Christ was born, the Word became flesh, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary, and the baby in her womb was conceived, and that became God incarnate, and he became a man. So in the same way, just like in the first time when God made Adam and breathed into his nostrils, in the same time also the Holy Spirit now overshadows Mary and brings in the creation of Jesus. And so the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, comes into the world and he grows up, he bears no sin, and he does not sin at all. And this second Adam has to be baptized. And when he is baptized, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon him and rests on him in the form of a dove. He is now then led into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he is tested of the devil, just like the first Adam was tested. And you see, the first Adam, when he was tested of the fruit, there are three temptations that came into it. It was good for food, it was pleasing for the eyes, and it was desirable for gaining wisdom. And so there were three temptations that came through that the fruit that they were to eat of the knowledge of good and evil. And likewise also, the second Adam has to go through the same temptations, one which is the food. And that's why he was told, if you are the Son of God, convert this stone into bread. And then the second temptation is told, jump from this high tower and the highest place. And you know, that is something about, you know, like the pride of life. And then the third one is told, all these kingdoms, I'll give them to anyone. And then he's told, worship no one else but me. And the Bible says the devil left him for an opportune time. So the second Adam came in, who is Jesus Christ, and he overcame the devil. He overcame the temptations of the devil. He defeated the devil, and he triumphed over him off the cross, at the cross. And the Bible tells us that when he came out of the resurrection, he tasted death for us all, but then as he was resurrected, he was resurrected as a first fruits of a kind. You see, when the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, the old has gone and the new has come. So what happened is that God was introducing a new creation, a new type of man on the earth. And this type of man is what, you know, Paul refers to as a new creation, for lack of a better word. But basically what we are saying, that this second Adam came as a life-giving spirit. The Bible tells us that the first Adam is earthy and was a living soul, but the second Adam is the heavenly man, the man from heaven, and he is a life-giving spirit. So, let us read. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, and let us jump to 45 so that we can see that. The Bible says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Now, that quickening spirit is a life-giving spirit. Now, what that means is that the first Adam was only living from his mind. He was only living from his soul. Because he had not yet, received the Holy Spirit. And when he sinned, even though he was a son of God, because the Bible also says Adam, the son of God, he was not the son of God with a capital T and with a capital S, the son of God. Now, when the son of God came, he came from heaven. The Bible says the first man is of the earth, Athi, which is Adam, because remember, Adam was made from the soil. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. He is heavenly. So the second man was made, or the second Adam was made a quickening spirit, which is a life-giving spirit. That means that he brings life and he gives life. And how did Jesus show how he gave life? When he met Jairus' daughter who was dead, he called her, "Come back to life, Talitha kum," and the baby came back to life. When he met Lazarus who was dead, he raised Lazarus from the dead. When he met the son of the widow who had died, and he felt compassion for her, the only son of the widow, he brought him back to life. And even him, when he was put to the grave, when he died, when he gave of himself, he was raised and he became a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit. And what that means is that now he gives life to everyone. Everyone who believes in him, he gives life. But now the Bible tells us that the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, everyone that gives their life to Jesus bears the image of the second man. Look at verse 48. It says, "As is the earthy," that is, as is the man from the earth, "such are they also that are earthy." So that means that everyone who is made of flesh, who is after Adam, bears the image of Adam. "And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." Verse 49, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy man, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Now I say this to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So we see there is an image of the earthy man of which all of us bear because we come from Adam. But you see, the moment you are born again, the moment you receive the Holy Spirit, you are made after the image of Christ. You are made after the image of the Son. And God gives you an ability also, the power to become a son of God. So now you become a son of God after, not after the image of Adam, who was the first son of God, but you are made a son of God after the image of Christ, who is the Son of God, and he is the man from heaven. And that is why the Bible says that, "Don't you know that your citizenship is not of the earth, but your citizenship is from heaven?" So if we are made after the image of the heavenly man, who is the Lord from the heaven, Lord from heaven, then also that means he becomes a first fruit. He becomes a first kind of a new creation that God has placed on the earth. And you see, when the Bible speaks of the kingdom of heaven, it speaks of the kingdom that Jesus Christ came to establish on the earth for the sons of God, for the kingdom of those who have believed in God and who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and those who bear the heavenly image, the man, the image of the Lord from heaven. So now you see, there's a mystery of God that he brought in a second and a last Adam into the earth, and the second and last Adam had to be tested the same way that the first Adam was tested. And when the second and last Adam overcame the devil, He restored back the dominion to man. So now the dominion is brought back to man, but is not brought back to that first Adam's man. It's brought back to anyone who is in Christ, anyone who is a new creation. And this dominion is given now to the sons of God who are born not of flesh or of a husband's will, but who have received the power to become sons of God. And we now have the image of the heavenly man. And that is why you and I who have believed in Christ are not ordinary. We bear the image of the man from above. We bear the dominion. And that is why we are not under the control of the devil. We are in a different kingdom. Yes, we are on this earth, but we have a superior kingdom. And how do I know that we have a superior kingdom? The Bible says that Jesus tells his disciples that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven and earth. That means that the new creation has the ability not only just to rule over the earth, but also has the ability of both heaven and earth. That means both the spiritual and the physical. And he says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Why? Because Christ brings a unity of not only the heavenly, but also of the earth. And that's why he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So the same authority that this son, that he becomes a first fruit. And that's why the Bible says he is not ashamed to call us his brothers, because it gave God good pleasure to bring in sons into glory, bring in many sons into glory. So you are made after the second Adam. If you are born again and truly born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you are born after the second Adam. And that's why the Bible says, except a man be born again, be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again also means to be born from above. It also means to bear the image of the heavenly man. This is what the wisdom of God, that he hid Christ in the second Adam to bring dominion back to man. And not just dominion of earth, but dominion of heaven and earth. And that authority, that power is brought to the new creation. That is to you and me who have believed. And this is the message of salvation. We believe it, we walk in it, we experience its victory, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I'll stop there, my brother, and you're welcome. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, that you call us to be the man from above, to be born again, to be born after the image of the man from heaven. And I thank you that indeed you have made us a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And I thank you for the power to make us sons of God after the Son of God. And thank you for each and every word that you have spoken to us. May we walk in that newness. May we walk in that citizenship. In the same way that the Son overcame every power of the devil, we have overcome the evil one. And we take possession, we take authority over everything that concerns us. We thank you for our lives. Thank you for 2024. As we cross over in 2025, we commit it into your hands that you have gone ahead of us, and we take all the glory. We return all the glory to you, O God. Thank you that indeed you hid these mysteries for our glory. And I thank you for the one that is listening, that the one that wants to give their life to Jesus, to be born again, to bear this image of the heavenly man, that you may receive them even as they confess and believe in their heart that you are Lord and you died and you raised for their glory. May you cross over with us to the praise and honor of your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.